In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us.
He is and always will be.
There's an expression that these saints are difficult people with whom to live. We like to quote them, we like to talk about them, but honestly, they're not the easiest people to live with because they really take seriously the gospel without qualifications, without conditions, without compromise. And those words would describe aptly the great St. John Chrysostom. St. John is recognized as, or is one of the more highly revered saints in both the East and the West. He's especially recognized for his gifted homilies. He was such a powerful preacher that the church has given him the title Golden Mouth, sometimes called Golden Tongue. St. John Chrysostom is very much alive among the Byzantines. We have a whole entire liturgy ascribed to him. It has his name. He has 3 commemorations in the liturgical calendar, and he's probably the one most often cited, referenced, and read church father in the liturgy. In fact, it's his homily we hear on the night of Pascha. His homilies are magnificent commentaries or exegeses on the sacred scriptures. However, if you read them, beware. St. John Chrysostom is not a man who minces his words. He was countercultural in the 4th century when he lived, and he's just as countercultural in this 21st century, some 1700 years later. In fact, his relentless preaching was found so great of a challenge to the people in Constantinople, their own archbishop, that it led actually to his own untimely and tragic death in AD 407. In the year AD 388 or AD 389, St. John Chrysostom delivered a series of homilies on today's gospel passage, a familiar one to many of us, I'm sure, the rich man and Lazarus. Sometimes called Dives et Lazarus. Famous music has been written on this very theme. These homilies offer a holy, piercing word on the meaning of this parable. And I recall a particular professor of mine when I was studying in Rome, Father Reginald Foster. He was the leading Latinist for the Vatican, and he was probably the most famous expert on Latin alive. He died a couple of years ago. And of course, being rooted in, of course, knowing Latin fluently, and he was also pretty good in Greek, he would read the church fathers in the original language, and he would give us their text to translate. And oftentimes, for all of us who were there in the class, future priests, he would tell us, stop all your blathering and all your own ideas and all these homilies and do all your blah, blah, and just give it up. And just pick up sometimes the church fathers and read them and spare the people. And so I'm not going to blah, blah, and blather today my own somewhat inadequate ideas. Today, let us hear some a very pithy group of excerpts that St. John Chrysostom spoke on this very homily, or this very parable. For St. John, he described this parable as certainly addressing death and judgment, heaven and hell. For St. John, it deals with the worldly reality versus the otherworldly reality. In our own contemporary language, we'd call it basically a secular worldview of life versus a Catholic worldview of life. And Chrysostom identifies a stark reversal of fortune in this parable. Lazarus. He was a wretchedly poor man, escorted to the bosom of Abraham by the angels. The rich man, who, note, doesn't even have a name, is delivered to Hades. In the scriptures, to have no name is to have no personhood. This rich man living a life of self-indulgence and self-gratification, what we call in our modern language, he was a modern consumerist, because of his unquenchable desires, he lost his personhood. He lost his human dignity. When this rich man cries out to Abraham for mercy, Abraham responds, quote, as you heard in the gospel, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented." End of quote. On those very words, St. John the Golden Mouth preached these words. And I quote, "When you see anyone living in wickedness, but suffering no misfortune in this life, do not call him fortunate, but weep and mourn for him, because he will have to endure all misfortunes in the next life, just like the rich man. And again, when you see anyone cultivating virtue, but enduring multitudes of trials, call that person fortunate. Envy that person, because all his sins are being dissolved in this life, and a great reward is being prepared for his endurance, just like Lazarus." End of quote, came from his third homily on this parable. St. John Chrysostom does not hesitate to turn upside down a secular view of life. The holy preacher proceeded to define, then, the Catholic and biblical understanding of wealth and poverty. And I quote him, "Let us learn from this man not to call the rich fortunate and the poor unfortunate. To tell the truth, the rich man is not the one who collected many possessions." Note that. The rich one's not the one who collects many possessions. The rich man is the one who has need a few possessions. And the poor man is not the one who has no possessions, but the one who has many desires. That's the definition of the wealthy and the poor. If you see someone, says Chrysostom, greedy for many things, consider that person the poorest of all. Even if that man or woman has all the money in the world, if, on the other hand, you see someone with few needs, count that person the richest of all, even if they have no possessions. End of quote. That's the gospel thinking. That's a biblical-minded man. He goes on to say, or identify, two of the worst words in the human vocabulary: mine and yours. St. John Chrysostom, those two words do nothing but create division, disunity, and fighting. He says, when we use the words mine and yours, what happens? In some way, for the person using that kind of language, relieves him or her of a responsibility to God and to neighbor. I have mine, you have yours, and we go on our way, and I'm not bothered with anybody or God. So emphatic on this point that our father, John Chrysostom, calls it a form of theft. And he quotes the prophet Malachi, and he quotes the book of Sirach. Quote, says St. John Chrysostom, theft is more than taking someone else's possessions. It's the failure to share one's goods with another. That is theft. That is swindle. That is defraudation. End of quote. Theft turns it all upside down. And he continues. And he tells us why. He says, money is the Lord's. And for that matter, all of our possessions, they are the Lord's. They're not mine. They're not yours. And however we got that money, and however we got our possessions, God, says Chrysostom, has allowed you to have more. Not to waste on yourself, to have nice clothes, to have nice things, to feed lusciously, and to feed our other indulgences. No, Chrysostom says, you are given more in order to distribute to those who are in need. End of quote. Let's just transfer 1,700 years later to the 21st century and say, how often we're running out and getting the latest gadgets, the latest iPhones, the latest smart TVs, the latest new technologies to fill our homes up with conveniences. How many TVs do we need? Get the latest car with all the latest luxuries. Buy bigger homes, yet we have smaller families. Fancy pools, going to spas, places of luxury. How do we spend our money? Because it's on loan to us. St. John Chrysostom continues, if you are affluent, and realize when he's using affluent, it doesn't just mean lots of stuff. No, it means you have more than what you really need. How many pairs of shoes do we need? How many shirts and blouses and pants and suits and ties do we really need? If you are affluent, but spend on more than you need, that's the key word. One day you will give an account of how you used your funds, those funds that were loaned to you by Almighty God. For God allowed you to obtain more than others, not to spend on yourself, but to be a good steward toward Him and toward your neighbor. End of quote. In a society such as the United States, which thrives on consumerism and materialism, yes, John Chrysostom's words are or should be unsettling to each and every one of us. As we enter all the more into the holiday season, may these words of this holy preacher resonate in our hearts. It says everything to us about our society when for the last month we've been so concerned about the supply chain. Why? Because how are we going to have a good Christmas? Pathetic. The gospel parable prepares the DFW outreach in its next step toward divinization. And we'll call it the spirituality of stewardship. Christian stewardship is a way of life. For the baptized person, it's just not something we do, another item on the checklist to become a saint. No, Christian stewardship is a way of life. And for the next 2 weeks, we will focus on what is the meaning of Christian stewardship and how do we become better stewards of what God has given on loan to you and me. And it falls under the three T's. Time, talent, and treasure. In the meantime, we turn to Chrysostom for a final thought. Quote, I beg you, remember this without fail, that to fail to share your own wealth with the poor is theft from the poor, and deprivation of their means of life. We do not possess then our wealth. We end up possessing their wealth. Christ is among us.